Irshad Manji was director of the Moral Courage Project at New York University. She'll be speaking at the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts in North Adams tonight at 7 o'clock. Deepak Chopra describes her as the new voice of reform, not only for Islam, but for all religions. Her best-selling book, The Trouble with Islam Today, has been published in 31 countries, including Indonesia, Lebanon, and Pakistan. In her presentation tonight, Manji will chart the course for the reform of Islam. By reform, she means reconciling faith and freedom and other key insights into a new generation of Muslims, illuminating their challenges and opportunities. She also seeks to empower non-Muslims to support Islamic reform in ways that bring out the best in all. It's a great pleasure to welcome Irshad Manji to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you having me.
It's incredible work that you have done and that you are doing. How did you come to it?
Well, you know, I started at a very early age, Joe, asking questions. In fact, I grew up in Canada, on the West Coast in Vancouver. And as I was growing up, I attended two kinds of schools, the regular public school of most North American kids. And then on top of that, every Saturday for several hours at a stretch, the Islamic religious school, the madrasa. And that is where I began asking what I thought were simple questions, but what turned out to be inconvenient ones. For example, I asked my teacher, why can't Muslims take Jews and Christians as friends? He was telling us that we couldn't, and I wanted to know why. And at the age of 14, I asked one too many of these kinds of questions and was expelled from the madrasa. But as I had to explain to my mortified mother, just because I've left the madrasa does not mean I have left Allah. And in fact, I took the time that I normally would have gone to madrasa, since I was no longer welcome there, I took that time every Saturday now to go to the public library, where I read everything I could, not just about Islam, but about all religions. And it was then, Joe, that I learned something that would change my life for the better. I learned that Islam itself has its own tradition of independent thinking and critical reasoning, and that's a tradition known as ijtihad. I realize that that word sounds frighteningly like jihad to many non-Arab ears, but ijtihad has nothing whatsoever to do with violence. Ijtihad is all about struggling with one's mind in order to comprehend our deliciously complex world. And that is what allows me to remain within my faith with integrity. It is the key, I believe, to reconciling faith and freedom.
So the obvious question, I guess, is that with this strong tradition of critical thinking within the religion, why were you challenged so and ultimately expelled for engaging in that very critical thinking that is part of the religion?
Well, I was challenged, first of all, by the contrast that I experienced at the public school versus the madrasa. You see, at public school, I could ask anything I wanted, and in fact, my questions would be met with smiles and with more encouragement. Obviously, the exact opposite happened at the religious school, and I realized, by the way, that this is not just a problem within Islam. Many Catholic school kids, for example, experience the same. Many Protestants do as well at Sunday school. So this is why I think that these lessons really are universal in their application. But the point is that I knew by going to public school that education didn't have to be indoctrination. And so I decided to take the best of my faith and see what I could do as an individual, to help democratize this tradition of ijtihad. Needless to say, after 9/11, so much more of the world was now paying attention to what's happening within the world of Islam than they did before. And that became the important moment in which to finally write the book that had been percolating in me for 20 years.
And that book, The Trouble with Islam Today, you, as I mentioned in the introduction, really dual goals of working with Muslims and illuminating their challenges and opportunities, but also to empower non-Muslims to support Islamic reform. Do those ever challenge one another? Do those ever conflict in a way that can't be worked out?
Well, I guess maybe because I'm an incorrigible optimist, I do believe that contradictions can be worked out. But yes, these two aims do often come into conflict because we live in a time in which many good-hearted, open-minded people say, well, I can't comment because I don't represent. In other words, Irshad, if I ask questions openly about what is going on in the name of your faith, then I will be accused of being a racist, a bigot, an Islamophobe, and I don't want to go there. And what I point out to them is that, you know, human rights is not owned by any particular group of people. Human rights, by definition, are human and therefore universal. So if you care about the status of women, about the dignity of gay and lesbian people, about the, survival of religious minorities, Jews, Christians, and even minorities within the faith of Islam, then when your heart says you've got to speak up about it, there is nothing except for petty politics that should stop you from doing so.
So at what point does this, I guess another way of asking the question is, does this differ from, I mean, I'm a Roman Catholic and I have major issues with the church in regards to, many issues. And,
sure.
But I'm still a practicing Catholic and I go to church and I feel strongly about that, even though I have questions about many of the positions that the church takes. So you're here to tell us that no matter Muslim, Jew, Christian, that we can have these challenges and still work through them and be true to who we are and true to the religion in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the word religion obviously will be defined by different people in different ways. I choose to contrast the word faith and dogma. Faith, Joe, it seems to me, is secure enough to handle questions. Faith never needs to be threatened by questions because faith is about trust. It's about your relationship of trust with your Creator. Dogma, on the other hand, is always threatened by questions because dogma, by definition, is rigid and brittle, and it snaps under the spotlight of scrutiny. Dogma is more institutional. Faith is personal. And as a Muslim who worships only one God, not God's self-appointed ambassadors, my relationship, my faith, is deeply personal.
And with that deeply personal, I mean, so you set the course, ultimately. You're the one deciding what your parameters of that of that faith and ultimately religion are.
Well, I'm not saying that anything goes. Obviously, there has to be some core to an identifiable faith, such as Islam. But the interesting thing is that core is very, very simple. It is belief in one God, period. All the other stuff, you know, the way you pray, for example, how many times, what parts of the body you wash beforehand, what verses of the Quran, you know, you cite and so on and so forth, all of that has come afterwards and is man-made. It is human-made. It is not divinely guided. And so I go back very much to the basics. And obviously, that raises the question in many people's minds, well, if I only need to believe in one God, then what makes me Muslim as opposed to Christian or Jewish? And my question to them is, why do you feel the need to be so special? Mm. Why can't we be on par with Christians and Jews?
So is realizing that feeling that way and practicing that way and to be vocal about that can be controversial and can stir violence, how do you balance that in a very turbulent world when it comes to faith?
You know, I don't know that there is a satisfactory answer to your question about how to balance. Balance is not what you get when you enter this kind of terrain. But I'll tell you what you do get. You get integrity. You get liberation from censorship, from self-censorship. And you get a sense of deepening your relationship with God precisely because you're stripping away all of the other stuff that complicates faith and coming back to the one thing that centers your faith, which is that relationship with your majestic Creator. So if you're looking for balance, I'm afraid to say that I haven't found it just yet, but clearly that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking to help those people who know that there is something in them, regardless of what their faith is, something in them that is desperate to come out, a truth that they need to be living in a nonviolent, non-oppressive way. And that's what the lessons of both The Trouble with Islam Today and my new book, Allah, Liberty, and Love, those are the lessons that the books will give them.
What is your message to the students at MCLA tonight?
Well, depends really on who the students are, right? I mean, there may be some who come out just to heckle and jeer, and I'm, you know, that's something I've faced on a number of occasions. But I think at the end of the day, or more to the point, at the end of the night, I would like people to walk out of the auditorium feeling a little bit more brave than when they walked in. And so my goal tonight is to facilitate the most honest conversation about Islam and about faith in general that anybody who attends tonight has ever experienced.
Irshad Manji will be speaking at the Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts in North Adams tonight at 7 o'clock. You can find out more by going to mcla.edu. mcla.edu. Irshad Manji, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck in North Adams tonight.
Well, I hope I won't need the luck, but thank you, Chuck.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more information by going to mcla.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.